Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 282.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 282. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. So, really awesome episode. I really don't want to do too much talking because these episodes are long. These are live streams I am doing right now to prepare all of you for the 2023 year. And so I'm going over each of my most important individual categories in a free guidebook that I've created that you can go get right now and follow along with these live streams, with these podcasts by going to jazzpianoschool.com/2023 planning book, no spaces, jazzpianoschool.com/2023 planning book to get this free guide for 2023. And what I'm doing is teaching you about planning for 2023. I'm teaching you about jazz education, how to teach yourself, how to get better, how to make progress, how to break down your planning to see more results, to get the desired goals, to reach the desired goals that you're looking for, right? Now, the first episode, which I released on the podcast for planning, you know, the most recent one was all about general planning for what your goals are, what you want to accomplish. This episode is going to be all about planning for solo piano. So if your goal is to make more progress in solo piano, that's what this particular episode is going to be on. Now, we do have a holiday, an amazing holiday sale running. If you want to pick up any of the Jazz Piano School courses that we have to offer, you can do that now just by going to jazzpianoschool.com, and you'll see a pop-up come up for the holiday sale. It's going to end January 10th at midnight, and you can pick up any of our education. It's all a la carte, so you can get mini courses for as low as $7. You can get lifetime elite access and anything in between. And there's something I haven't done before, which is selling the Main Course Curriculum Success Path. You can get that, which is over 700 videos. You can get access to the pre-reserved access to the new Improvisation Mastery Specialty course that's coming out in January, on January 23rd. There's a new Improv Boot Camp that I'm doing that's starting January 23rd as well. You can get any of the previous specialty courses, How to Crush the Blues, Accompaniment Mastery, the Bill Evans Arranging System, Solo Piano System, and obviously the Improvisation Mastery System is coming out as well on January 23rd. Any playbooks, like, okay, you get it. You can get anything you want. Like, any goal that you'd have, you can go and get now for a significant discount. And that's going to go up to January 10th. Now, when you get the guidebook, you'll be on our email list. So I do send a couple emails and notifications about the holiday special. It's usually in the PS, so you'll get a link there if you do want to visit it. I also send out a lot of free education, like these live streams you can attend. So really great to get on the email list. Go get the guidebook. Again, jazzpianoschool.com/2023 planning book. But with that being said, I want to jump into this episode that I recorded as a live stream on YouTube. These are always open to the public, so you can ask me questions, interact with me. Really, really fun. You'll hear me answering questions on this as well. So with that being said, let's dive right in. Here we go. So this is the tune, My Romance. And again, if you have the guidebook in front of you, that's really great. You should pull that up now. So essentially, in the solo piano category, just to review real quick, there's five categories in the planning section of the guidebook: voicings, solo piano, repertoire, improv, and rhythm and coordinations. So as this series continues, I'm going to do a live stream on planning for each of one of these sections. All right, and today's planning session obviously is all around solo piano. So I'm going to start with step one. And I know John Jr., who's here sometimes watching the sessions, you know, he's more of a beginner. There might be some more beginners out there. As a beginner, this is exactly where you're going to start to play tunes and how you're going to start to play tunes. And for a lot of you out there, This might be very, very beginner, but don't worry. I'm going to work through all the way up into like a pro solo piano plan, you know, to essentially sound like a pro. So the first thing you're going to do is just root position chords as number one, step number one says, melody in your right hand. Okay, so I'm just playing the chords when the chords are shown on the beats. Now, when you see two chords per bar, that means essentially you're assuming what the first chord's on beat one, the second chord's on beat three, and then I'm gonna play my melody. So here's my romance. Okay. And I'd go on through that tune, so on and so forth, in the exact same way. Now, what do we need to work on to accomplish that, right? So let's say that's your goal, okay? This is all about planning and goal setting. If that's your goal, what do you need to know? Well, you need to know all of your seventh chords. And this is where the overlap of some of the other categories in the planning guide might come into play for you. And you're gonna see this a lot as we move through the different steps. So if you don't know a certain chord here, then you'd have to go to the voicings category and say, okay, where am I in my voicings category? I need to learn my seventh chord. So that's gonna be part of the execution, right? That's gonna be part of your practice plan. Is in order to pull off step number one of the solo piano category, I actually need to go to my voicings category, right? And that's gonna allow me to accomplish my solo piano sound. Because I need to be able to play these chords by themselves like riding a bike, right? Just like you're not even thinking. Going through the tune here, right? Just not even thinking, like it should be like second nature, okay? So that's essentially step number one. And if you don't know your seventh chords, then putting into a plan to practice them with your left hand and your right hand, you know, and obviously inside of Jazz Piano School, there's a lot of different areas you can do that. If you're not a member of Jazz Piano School, you can clearly go onto the internet and find lots of voicing work and, you know, practice exercises that will allow you to accomplish this, okay? So that's gonna be step number one. Step number two, what's the next step after you're able to do that? The next step in playing a great solo piano is being able to place the shells underneath the melody. So what I'm doing here is putting my shells underneath the melody now, okay? So I have the melody here, I have the third and seventh of my B flat major seven, and I'm going to place the shells underneath the melody. Now, when the melody is not aligned on the chord, and even this step for some advanced players, they might be like, oh man, I didn't even realize that, right? So I'm gonna be playing my chords here. Now, the C minor seven is going to happen before my melody because the melody comes in on beat four. So this will be beat three, and then I'm gonna play my melody. And one very important thing I want you to note, in solo piano, if I have shells over top of the melody, meaning my melody is going to be this D natural here, I'm just going to play the melody, and then I'm going to release my hand. Excuse me, I'm going to play the shells, and then I'm going to release my hand and just go right into the melody. So I'm going to play C minor 7, release the shells, and then play that melody. You don't have to hold everything in solo piano, like a trumpet, you know, is holding the dotted half note there. Right? You can just lift your hand and it's okay because you're gonna hear that melody ring out anyway. So just a quick little tip there. So I'm placing all my shells below the melody. Now if the melody is a shell note, like as you can see there in the D minor seven, the F natural is actually the third, okay, of the D minor seven. So I don't need to double my shell note under the melody, but I can if I want to for a thicker sound. By the way, my left hand is playing single note bass lines. So just the root. Now I can play here, or I can play down here in the lowest end of the piano. Here's how this texture sounds. It sounds gorgeous with these really rich low end bass notes, right? So Alex says, do you write your arrangement of the melody with the shells? Alex, you can. I would try to, I've been saying this a lot actually recently, so it's a great question that you ask. And I think a lot of people and students, including myself, we start to do things that aid us in the wrong direction. They aid us in the wrong direction. Solo piano, because we're trying to take a chart and we're trying to spontaneously create an arrangement out of that chart, to learn that process, to learn that process of recognizing chords, recognizing the melody, and creating arrangements on the spot with the piano, my first recommendation would be to not write it down, because that's not our goal, right? We always want to try and do things that work directly towards our goal, because the writing of shells isn't directly related to our goal. So what happens is we start to get used to that process. We start to get used to writing it down and then reading the arrangement of that. But that's not really what our goal is it? Like Alex, you probably want to be able to open up to any tune in the real book. You know, maybe your friends or family are gathered around, or you just want to play for yourself. You want to be able to open up to that tune and just sit down and do this. Right, but if we kind of work towards writing it down and then reading it, we're actually training our brain to read the notes instead of just kind of creating them on the spot. So I don't want to say you shouldn't do it, because it can be helpful just to visually see how it's working. But the more you can understand conceptually what I'm explaining to you, the better off you're going to be at pulling this off in a reasonable fashion, right, to executing it. All right, so here we go, moving on. Here's my shells for the C minor, D minor, D flat diminished, C minor. Now again, I'm gonna play my shells on beat 3 of the F7, then I'm gonna play my melody. Shells on the B flat major 7, here's my D7 shells, and then melody. Now this G minor is a triad, so I'm just gonna play root and third here with the melody here. I'm gonna play my shells in my G minor major. Again, shells, shells, shells. Now you'll find that this is just step 2. This is just step 2 of the solo piano steps in the free guidebook, right? So as you're going through this, this already sounds amazing. Like someone wanting to learn jazz going from step number 1, this is a complete beginner. This is how I would teach someone who knows nothing about jazz. I would tell them to learn their 7th chords, right? And then play tunes in this way, solo piano. Now, step number 2, I would tell them to do exactly this. Now, this is a huge jump in sound, right? Like, just playing this, check it out. If someone played that for me, I would be like, wow, this person is good. This person's great at piano. Like, even that sounds fantastic, right? That sounds fantastic. You know, I would be proud of being able to do that. And guess what? That's only step number 2 in this process. So as far as benchmark goes, I've been really talking about benchmarks in the new Improvisation Mastery course that's coming out in January 23rd. And having benchmarks and goals for different types of categories, like a benchmark for improv, and you know, knowing and understanding these kind of benchmarks in your path, your journey in these topics like solo piano, improv, voicings, they're very important, because it's like walking down a trail, like when you're hiking and you see the little blue dots or the red dots, it's telling you that you're going the right way. Like you're going down the right trail, you are on the right path. And that's really reassuring, and it can develop extreme amounts of confidence. And it's terrible to not know, like, when you know how you feel when you stop seeing those dots and you're like, you start getting that anxiety in yourself and you're like, am I lost right now? And you're like, oh, it must be up here. And you go a little bit further around the bend and you're like, wait, there's no dot here, right? Hopefully there's some hikers out there that can relate to me right now. But when you don't really know if what you're doing is actually helping you or going down the right direction, that can be a terrible feeling. So with these benchmarks in the free guide, these are going to be great landing points for you to be like, okay, I accomplished that. Cool. I'm doing the right thing. So my challenge to you, my goal to you, is to be able to open up to any tune and go through the tune like step number 1 is a benchmark. If you're a complete beginner, you should be able to do this through any tune. You know, If I Were a Bell, right? Have You Met Miss Jones? It doesn't matter. Any tune, you should be able to do step number one. Now, granted, it doesn't sound the best, right? But we're getting there. At least you've accomplished benchmark one. You hit the landing point. You see that first blue dot. You're like, cool, I'm on the right path. Let's keep going. Just keep moving forward. That's all you have to do, right? So step number two, again, now we put our shells underneath our melody. Now, like I said before, we can double the shell to make a thicker texture if the melody is a shell note as well. Okay, here's what that might sound like. I don't need to double here because the melody's a five. Shells, I'm gonna double here. Double here. Shells. Okay, shells. I'm gonna double here. Like, that sounds gorgeous, right? And that's gonna be benchmark number two. So when you get to that point, here's my challenge to you. For everyone out there learning solo piano, your next solo piano goal should be able to do this, right? And this is gonna be, again, step number two in the free guide, okay? Melody with shells underneath in the right hand, it literally lists it out. So if you haven't gotten the guide, go get the guide. It's completely free, right? jazzpianoschool.com/2023 planning book. Step number two. Now let's move on to step number three, okay? Hey, Jeffrey, what's up? So step number three, what we're gonna do now, your next benchmark, your next blue dot, you're gonna see on your trail, on your path down these categories, right? Which is gonna assure you that you're going down the right direction, is going to be splitting the shells, splitting the shells. Now, why do we wanna split the shells, right? I'm gonna tell you why right now. What's happening right now is that we want to free up some of our right hand to allow us to do more advanced things later on down our path, right? So freeing up our fingers is kind of like freeing up our, I'm trying to think of a good analogy, like our backpack, like taking heavy stuff out, you know, so that we can feel lighter and like more flexible. And essentially when my right hand fingers are being used by notes I'm playing, like if I have to do this, right, it doesn't really allow my right hand much flexibility to add colors, add extensions, and do more advanced things that I'm gonna wanna do in the future. So what do? We call up our left hand and we say, hey, left hand, I'm gonna need some help. And so this is exactly why we split up the shells, because when our left hand helps out with the harmonies, now the shells, again, are fundamental basic harmonies in jazz and that you always need. So your left hand's going to help out with some of that baggage that you just always need to carry. Like you always need water, right? So let's tell our left hand to help out with some water. Now, instead of this, check out the bottom screen of the keyboards, right? Because my right hand's doing all the work here. Now I could do this. My left hand's going to switch. My thumb's going to play the seventh here. My right hand's going to play the D, which is the third, and the melody here. Right? And then I'm gonna continue on. Here's my C minor. So I'm splitting the shells now between both hands. Right? Okay, shells, split between both hands, right hand, thumb on my left hand, pinky. Okay, now check it out. So when we start to split the shells, excuse me, here's what's gonna happen. We don't always want our left hand to be in this area because your bass notes here, they start to sound a little thin. Remember when I played step number two and I played it like this? Like how gorgeous and rich does this sound, right? Woo, this is so pretty. How pretty is this? Now, why is it so pretty? It's because my bass notes on the piano are so low. Now, I'm not doing anything different with my right hand, am I? I'm still playing shells here in the exact same way that I was, which I just demonstrated when I was splitting them up. But the bass notes are so low here that it creates this rich, lush support. Now, I'll tell you right now, this is probably top three number one reasons that beginner solo piano pianists do not sound like, are not producing a pro sound. Because when they go to play, it sounds like this. And even sometimes it gets all the way up here as high as this. And then maybe this. Maybe this. Now this sounds beginnerish because there's no low end bass notes. The faster you can change this in your solo piano playing, the faster you're gonna sound like a pro. It's literally that easy. Put your left hand down, and George is probably like, man, I've heard this like 1,000 times, right? From Brendan. But check it out, like this is very thin. This is just not how pros play, right? I'd never play solo piano like this, ever, ever. My left hand is always down in this low end of the piano. And if I'm not playing single note bass lines here, I might be playing even octaves to create a full, richer sound. Like I'm playing an octave now. Right? That's so much more lush. Now check it out. We're still on step three of the guidebook, solo piano, right? When we go to split up our shells, how do we start to tackle this issue of our bass note being here? Because obviously, I can't play my thumb here and reach past this bass note, this B flat on this first chord. So what do I have to do? I have to jump sometimes. So I might go like this. I'm gonna play my shells together and then jump down to my bass note. Or what I'm gonna do is jump up like this. Now I don't use the second thing that much because you usually want to play your harmonies together and then jump down to hit the bass note. So that's going to be my number one recommendation for you. Now there's going to be certain situations or chords where the arrangement works out really well. Hey Lick. So check it out. So this B flat here is right on the cusp of being a little bit too high. I would say this C natural here for your bass notes, you really should never play any bass notes above this C natural here. And even to me, this is quite high. I probably wouldn't use a bass note here that much. And like for the C minor 7, I might do this, right? Jump down to hit the bass note after I play this one, especially because there's no melody there. So I might go like this, and then jump down here, and then play my melody, and then here, check it out. If you can reach a tenth, then what I'm gonna recommend is playing a tenth in your left hand, to hit 1/10. So I'm still splitting the shells between my hands, right? Like this. Okay, but if you can't reach it, what you're gonna do is what I just said. You're gonna play the harmony and then feather it. So you're just gonna play that, jump down to your left hand. Now this, remember, I want you to remember something. This is just a step. This is just a step in the process of learning. I start to manipulate these situations in different ways so you don't always have to jump. Because in this situation, when the melody's that low, I probably would just have my right hand take all the baggage, meaning I would let my left hand do some rest and I could go like this. So here in this case, I've thickened up the chord, I've harmonized it, my right hand's playing the melody, the shells, and I've utilized my other free fingers to add some extensions in. And then I'm gonna do the same thing here. Now check out where this F7 sits. It sits perfectly for me to play 1 and 7 and 3 here. Now this area right here for F7, G7, G7, A7, A7, even E7, this is a perfect register for you to play 1 and 7 every single time. E-flat is getting a little low and B-flat, like I said, is getting a little high. So between E-flat and B-flat, to play your 1s and 7s, to split up your shells, that's a perfect area. Now, if you get to the C minor, obviously, this is gonna be too low to play 1 and 7, so you're gonna have to play 1 and 10. So you're gonna have to jump, right? Or jumping up this way, right? Or playing 1 and 10, 10 like this. So now again, I'm still splitting the shells. I'm using 1 and 10, or again, jumping. Again, here's a perfect spot for me to go 1, 7, 3 on my F7 melody, splitting my shells. Now, anytime your melody does not fall underneath a chord, right? So for example, on the D7, what happens is I take my right hand and I help my left hand out. I help my left hand out because my right hand doesn't need to be doing anything. So instead of my left hand helping my right hand is helping my left hand. Almost every single time, there's a chord with no melody or the melody's holding. So for example, on the first measure, my right hand's gonna help out my left hand a lot with the comping and lower end harmonies. So for the C minor 7, because there's no melody that my right hand's required to play on the downbeat of beat 3, my right hand's gonna come down and it can do whatever it wants to create a voicing. So here I'm playing 3, 11, 5, 7. I could even add the root in there too on top, which would sound nice. Or maybe the 11. That's a gorgeous chord there. Or I could do this. So I could go, now my right hand's gonna jump down to help my left hand out, play the C minor. It's a little too low for me. Let's do something else. I like this first one. Whoops, here, there we go. And then it's gonna jump back up to play the melody. You see that? So anytime the melody, your right hand's not required to play the melody, utilize it to jump down into the low end register and play a chord, right? Chord, jump back up, play the melody. Now I'm splitting my shells again. Chord here, right? I could do something fancy. Woo! And then jump back up here. But again, when the melody is being played with a chord, I'm still splitting my shells because I want to free up fingers for my right hand to play, okay? Any questions about any of this so far? Because I'm going to keep going into some more advanced concepts. Now, this is a benchmark right here. Now, you should be able to do this for any type of tune, for all tunes, okay? Something like this, some arrangement like this where, again, it would sound something like this. Splitting the shells. Chord. I'm going to play a little more simple, actually. Just shells for now. I'm going to stick to shells. Right? Now check out this, like this C minor 7 voicing. I have a 5 in the melody. I'm playing 7 here, 3, and root. This is a perfect example of a great. So this is essentially, why do we do this? Like I said, why do we split the shells up? It's essentially to start creating two hand voicings for solo piano. Because now look at the spread I have. I can do such gorgeous things with this. Like check it out. Look what I can add now to this because I've arranged my hands in a perfect setup to allow me to introduce more advanced concepts. That's why step number 3 of the solo piano guidebook is so important, because it will put your hands in the perfect position that will allow you to add more colors, more extensions, more rich harmony, more balanced spreads, without guessing. You won't be guessing anymore at where to place your hands, because literally step 3 will place them for you. Does that make sense? Okay. Anyone have any questions, right? Let me know if you have any questions. Okay, this is all fun stuff. I'm super excited, if you can't tell. I really love this. All right, I wanna go to step number 4 now as we start to get a little bit more advanced. We're almost halfway done. Now, step number 4 is going to be, it's the meat and potatoes. It's the meat and potatoes of solo piano, and we absolutely need this particular step, which is going to be left-hand solo piano components. Left-hand solo piano components. Now, as we start to get into different types of tunes and faster swing tunes, you're going to need your left hand to do a couple different things. One is, I already kind of mentioned it, you're going to need it to jump. Right? Where it goes bass note to shells, or maybe bass note to a full chord. Now, what's the reason for this? Like, you're probably like, Brendan, you just told me I could split the shells between my hands and create great harmony. You can. You can. Every single step in this guidebook is meant for a purpose, and that purpose is to allow you, like I just keep saying, allow you to do more advanced things, okay? Because you're going to need, anytime you want your right hand to do something, your left hand has to help out. Anytime you want your left hand to do something, your right hand has to help out. Does that make sense? It's a really important concept, actually. So if I want my right hand to do some fills, let's say, what if I want my right hand to do some fills up here? What does my left hand have to do? It has to take over for the harmony, because we need to account for those harmonies. So let's say I go like this. My left hand has to play some supporting harmony. Right? To help out my right hand while it's doing this fancy fill. Or if I want to do an improv fill. Right? My left hand has to take over for these responsibilities that will never, never go away. Okay, remember in solo piano, you have responsibilities. You have to play the bass note. That's one of your responsibilities. You have to play the shells in some capacity because they dictate and reflect the harmony of the chord. The third and seven will always reflect the harmony of the chord. Okay, and the third responsibility is really just melody if you have it. If you're playing the melody or there is some melody, you have to play the melody too. Otherwise, you're not playing the tune, right? So in this particular instance, I've done my responsibility with the melody. I've played the melody. That means I'm free now. I'm free until beat four to do whatever I want, right? But that's just for melody responsibility. It doesn't mean I can let go of the harmony and the time. So now I'm going to do a fancy fill with my right hand, but my left hand's going to jump to a chord to take over for the harmonic responsibility while my right hand has fun and does whatever it wants. Now, while the melody is being played in beat measure two, that's a lot of responsibility there. I don't have any free time now. My hands don't really have any freedom, much freedom to play around because guess what? I have responsibility to play the melody. But it doesn't mean I can't harmonize the melody in beautiful ways, right? Something like this. Right? I can create gorgeous two-hand voicing harmonic arrangements now, even though the melody is continuing upward. But I don't have as much freedom, right? So now, when I hit this measure three, again, I have a dotted half note. Now, if I was a trumpet, I would have to breathe and hold this out. As a pianist, I can just play the note, and then again, I can do more fancy stuff. Right? And then, back to my responsibilities with the melody. Okay? So this is the reason, this long-winded answer, essentially, is the reason that your left hand has to be able to do left-hand solo piano components. Now, let me go through the list of responsibilities, or not responsibilities, I should say. Let me go through the list of left-hand solo piano components that are going to be necessary to get to step four, your new benchmark, your new dot on your path as you're climbing up this mountain, right? Getting to the top. So, bass notes. You have to be able to play bass notes and just maneuver around single note bass note lines. I would say walking bass, you know, I haven't really gotten there, but, you know, just bass notes in some capacity. The next thing is going to be one and sevens. Now, when I say each one of these tasks, again, your new challenges, you should be able to go through and play through any tune just playing the bass notes with these. So put a metronome on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. I'm not walking bass, I'm just playing the bass notes. Really want to train your hand to do that because guess what? Remember, one of your all-time responsibilities in solo piano is to play the low-end portion of the piano, is to play the bass notes, is to deliver that low-end portion. That's a responsibility that will never change. okay? You'll always have to play bass notes. So the faster you can get used to playing your left hand down in this low end area, right? Probably a lot of you aren't used to doing this actually, right? And that's a very common beginner mistake, right? Is keeping your left hand right around the middle of the piano. That's going to produce a beginner sound. Your left hand down low is going to produce a pro sound. So get used to your left hand being down low in the low end of the piano, because that's what you're going to need to get better at jazz piano, solo piano, okay? Bass notes. The next thing you're going to need is ones and sevens. Why is that? Because we were going to want to split the shells like we did in step three to create different types of two-hand voicings. When we play one and seven and three, we're essentially creating, it's the foundation to creating different types of two-hand voicing spreads like this or all of these are based upon splitting the shells with left hand, playing one and 10 or one and seven. So what I just played for you, again, at the foundation level of that, let's do that again. It's just a 3-6-2-5, but I'm adding some fancy extensions, but I'm going to show you something in just a second. Right? So check it out. Although this sounds super fancy and fun, and it is, this sound is a great sound, okay? Let's check it out. What do we have here? Always start from the bottom up. Well, my left hand has an easy 1-7. So the progression here is 3-6-2-5 in the key of F. So A, D, G, C, F. A, D, G, C, F. And I'm playing dominance, all dominance. 1-7-3. These two notes up here are extensions. So if I remove the colors of the voicing, what are we left with? Oh, we're left with everything I've been teaching you, right? 1-7-3, and I'm placing two colors on top. I have the 13 and the flat 9. Then I'm going to this. And again, if you can't reach tenths, you can always jump. You can always jump. Do this, but it doesn't get rid of the fact that I have the same components that I'm teaching you in my left hand, right? My shells are split. My right hand's playing the 7 of a D7 chord. My left hand is playing the 3rd of a D7 chord. My pinky is playing the bass. So my shells are split again. So again, at the root of this chord, I have the foundational elements I'm teaching you that are in the guidebook. They create the stuff, guys. There's a reason we do this, and we want to learn these things, right? Now I'm placing two colored tones on the top here. Now here again, 1-7-3, our foundation, 13, flat 9. I think I did this. 1-10-7-9-5. And then here, I kind of broke the rule slightly, but not really. 1-5-3. I'm basically playing a 6 chord. I just voiced it a little bit differently. I could have done this though. Right, so 1-6-3 would be our shells. I used 5 instead, but essentially this is what it would be. So it turns out to be this. Anyway, back to your left-hand solo piano components. This is exactly what's happening when you learn to split your shells and you learn your 1-7s, your 1-10s, right? Your 1-3s are going to be necessary too. Sometimes I do this. Let's say we're doing a 2-5-1 in the key of F. 1-7-3, and then going to 1-3. I do this because I go here, 1-7, 3 to 1-3-7 for a C7 chord, but then I might jump down to hit a bass note to create some more low-end rich texture. So I do play 1-3. 1-3 is a left-hand solo piano component. Okay, so just to review, we have single note bass lines as a left-hand solo piano component. We have 1-7 as a left-hand solo piano component. We have 1-3 as a left-hand solo piano component. We have 1-10 as a left-hand solo piano component. We have bass note to shells as a left-hand solo piano component. We have bass note to full chord as a left-hand solo piano component. because we're going to need to make those jumps in case our right hand is doing something fancy, right? And then finally, the last one, you don't, this is more of a miscellaneous one, but if you can reach bass note and shells all with one hand, that's going to make your life so much easier when soloing, improvising, or playing melodies. Because when you're able to do this, even if I roll it, so the B flat major is not the best area to do this in, but let's say I was playing a C minor, I can play bass note and shells all with one hand. That means my right hand is free to do whatever it wants. It can play melody, it can improvise, it can comp, it can fill. If you can reach or roll bass note to shells, I deem that as one of a very important left-hand solo piano component because it's going to allow you to do a lot of things with your right hand. So check it out. Where I've been talking about, let's take a breather for a sec, okay? It's a lot of information. Up until this point, I've been talking about my right hand helping my left hand out, the left hand helping the right hand. But with your left hand solo piano components, your right hand's essentially free to do everything because your left hand can do everything. Your right hand's free to do anything. Did I say everything? Your right hand's free to do anything because your left hand can do everything. So if I were to play this here, let's say I were to play it up here, my left hand can do everything while my right hand has a ball by itself and does whatever it wants. So if my right hand is just playing single note melody, I started showing off a little bit, but I was trying to demonstrate. My right hand was having a field day doing, you know, whatever it wanted while my left hand was holding down the fort. And it held down the fort with, guess what? Step number 4 in the guidebook, left hand solo piano components. Because it was doing bass note to shells. Sometimes it was doing bass note to full chord. Sometimes it was doing 1-7-3 or rolling. Right? Sometimes I was going 1-7 and jumping to the 3. Okay, so it was using, yes, a lot of Errol Garner stuff. Love Errol Garner, right? So it was able to do that because my left hand was doing everything. And that's why left-hand solo piano components are so important in solo piano. Because you're going to need those. You're going to need those. Again, that's step number 4, right? Okay. Let's go to step number 5 and 6, and I was kind of digging into those a little bit, in what I was telling you about. So now that we kind of like have this this basis down, right? So that's going to be your new benchmark, obviously. Now your left-hand solo piano components, they're going to be useful for very advanced things. I would say if you want to be able to improvise with your right hand while playing solo piano, absolutely necessary. If that's not your goal, though, remember, this is about planning and getting to your goal as fast as possible. If you just want to be able to play tunes in a solo piano style fashion without improvisation, I would say you don't necessarily need your left hand solo piano components because your right hand and left hand can help each other out. But if your right hand wants to go off and do fun fills like this, your left hand has to do everything, right? So you will need your left hand solo piano components to break past that threshold, right? To get to that super, super high advanced level or improvise with your right hand. But if that's not your goal, then you can kind of scrap them for now. You don't really need them. So let's go to step 5 and step 6, which essentially will still be at the heart of it, the core, your hands working together. So now we've split the shells up. What can we start to do now? I'm going to kind of combine steps 5 and 6 because I want to show you how we can start to arrange some thick arrangements, right? So let's say we do this. We want to see if we can add the 5 or any sort of extensions now. So extensions over chords is something obviously you'll need to learn if that's your goal. If you want to get to step 5 and 6, you're going to need to learn extensions. That's a whole goal in itself. So you need to isolate the learning and the knowledge of learning about extensions, and then you can apply them to this step. So just because a step is one individual number, it doesn't mean it's not going to require multiple steps. A lot of steps will require multiple steps of learning to kind of make that step happen, especially in the solo piano category. In the voicings category, it's more straightforward. It's like, okay, learn your rootless voicings. Boom, that step is done. Learn your two-hand voicing setups, 1-7-3. Boom, that step is done. Learn your extensions. Learn all your 9s over your dominant chords. Right? Boom, that step's done. Learn all your 13s over your dominant chords, right? Boom, that step's done. Okay, but in solo piano, like to accomplish some of these steps, you need, what do you need? You need voicings, you need rhythm, you're gonna need a lot of different categories. That's why the categories in the guidebook are so, so important, okay, for this. So here we go. Let's say our voicing is this. Well, we could add the 5 here if we want. And what extensions could we add? We could add the 9 here. We could also add the 13. Now the 13 is gonna be the G natural in the chord of the 6, and you're always trying to add extensions underneath your melody, so I don't wanna put the 13 above the melody note here. Now I wanna show you something. Here's my voicing so far. How do I get the 13 in there? Because my index finger's on the 5, my thumb is on the A. Well, I'm gonna break one of the rules that you've initially learned, okay? But you don't wanna start doing this right off the bat because it'll screw up your whole system of where your hands place. Instead of my left hand taking the 7 of the B flat major 7 chord, right? I'm gonna have my right hand help it out, right? Your hands can always help each other out. So I'm gonna have my thumb take this 7 here, and I'm gonna put my thumb here on the 13, okay? So here's my voicing now. 1-5-13-7-9-3 melody. Okay, let's get rid of the top notes. Let's get rid of the bass note. Let's get rid of the melody. Here's my inner voicing. Do you see where the shells are? Shells are here. Nope, I'm sorry. Where are the shells? I'm trying to hold the other notes down and play the shells so you can see them highlighted for you. Here are my shells. And here are my extensions. Or the 5 is not, the 5 isn't an extension, it's just a part of the chord tone, right? I'll add the melody back in and the bass note. So here is my, this is what we start to do in solo piano, is we create these arrangements on the spot. Woo-hoo! How gorgeous is that? And a really cool, easy flourish you can always do is take your arrangement of the melody in your right hand and just roll it up, just arpeggiate up the piano. You can just arpeggiate the voicing you've created in your right hand and just arpeggiate it up the piano. Arpeggiate it. That's hard to say. Now on my C minor 7, I don't have to account for the melody here. So I can voice the C minor 7 however I want. However I want. Okay, so let's start with a rootless voicing. If you don't know or understand voicings too much, I'd always start with your rootless voicing and see where you can go from there. So let's add, this is my 3-5-7-9. I want to get the 11 in there. So how am I going to do that? The 11 is here, right? And if this is the process, like I know instantly how to get the 11 in there just because I've done it so many times, right? And I've gone through this process of working it out so many times so I can do it instantly. So essentially when Stefan says there's an F shouldn't be in the left hand, sounds better. I think you're talking about this F. It could have been for that, Stefan, I'm not sure. So back to this, how do I get the F in there? Well, again, let's help each other out. Help your hands out. I want to keep the 5 here of the chord, and I can't, this is awkward, like, I can use this voicing, I have played this, but let's help each other out. So I'm gonna play 1 and 10, and I'm gonna take the 11 here with my thumb, index 7, 9. This allows me, or again, you can jump. Just jump between your left hand right here. That sounds gorgeous. Again, flourish. You can just roll up the piano. So we have this. And then we have this. Now again, here's our melody, bass note. Let's see. Let's harmonize this now. So here's my fundamentals. I need bass note, shells, melody. I'm going to try to add the 5, which is step number 5 of the guidebook. And now I'm going to add some extensions. Let's add the 11 in here again. Right here with my thumb. It's right underneath my thumb. Might as well add it in. That sounds gorgeous too. The 9 would be super cool to get into. That's a gorgeous sound, this half step right here. So here's my 9, the E natural. Now again, here's my diminished chord, right? So I could put the 5 in here if I wanted. I could put some extensions in here if I want. That sounds gorgeous, I love that. So again, we have this. Here's the D minor. No, I'm sorry. Wait, what did I have? This, I had this. And then we had this. Love that. And then again, so the process is foundation, right? Melody, bass note, shells. Do you want to add the 5? It's not always necessary, but you can. Yeah. Stefan, amazing. That C minor 11 sound, right? Woo! I'm going to go back and play through it, but this is a gorgeous sound. Love this. In the, you know, everything's different, right? If I move it up a half step, it changes the color like drastically just by the half step because it starts to go up in the register of the sound. So like play around with your voicings too, because like the voicings will sit in different ways, right? So this will sit here like in this type of color in the C, at a C minor register, but a C sharp, that's brighter and like more open, roomier. This is so much darker. Like really dismal, closed off. This is very open, right? So anyway, play around with the registers of your voicings and where they are. Back to the where we were, C minor 7. So the melody, again, now check it out. When the melody's up high, okay, this is going to be present different types of challenges. Okay, so here's middle C. Here's my melody now. This is measure 3. Because the melody's up higher, I always want to cover like a big spread on the piano in some way, because remember, I can't just play my bass notes up here. This is a C below middle C. Here's middle C. This is really too thin, but like if you're going for that sound, I've done it. I've been there. Like if you want to create kind of like a very kind of tinny, like light, airy sound, you could do stuff like this. That's a purposeful texture, you know, that's a texture on purpose. But if you're doing, that's going to be a little bit too thin. So we always need this low end bass note. So for the C minor 7, how do we get a low end bass note in with the melody here and like a bass note here? Well, we're going to probably have to jump in some way, or if you can reach the 10th, you can hit the 3rd here, 7 here. And then, like I said, we're on step 5, so do we want to throw the 5 in here? Well, the 5 would be here or here. So here isn't really possible with this type of voicing, so I can rule that out. I can rule the 5 out here because I'm not going to be able to hit that. I have both thumbs here. The free fingers I have are here and here. And for the most part, we're not utilizing extensions down the low end of the piano. If anything, to thicken up this 10th, I can add a 5 in the middle. This will create a thicker, lush sound. So what can I do with my right hand? I have 3 fingers available. We can play extensions here, right? And normally, my right hand fingers over minor chords, I'm gonna play the stuff that fits under my fingers. Like there's no use in playing stuff that doesn't work well. So my index finger's right over the 9, so heck, just throw the 9 in there. My third finger's right over the 11. And my fourth finger's right over the five. So I could add the five in again. This is a gorgeous voicing right here. Right? So, again, this would be this. Stefan says, melody B-flat, left hand, C, G, right hand, D, B-flat, F in melody. Yeah, this would work too. And I'd rather play this E-flat here to get, we don't really want big spreads that are left open like this. This is a gorgeous sound though. Because the fifth and the resonance of the root are upholding the harmony, this kind of works. I'd prefer to do this. So when you get 1, 5, 10 in, that's a really rich overtone resonance. And this note fills in the gap between this E flat and D. So if I move my fourth finger, again, this is a kind of a question about how can I help my hand out? I can move my fourth finger over the 11 and shift everything down. So this and this, right? So now we get this, which is a really, really gorgeous sound. Okay, so let's go over what we got so far up until that point. You know, I'm just kind of demonstrating the process you would take to start to fill out your solo piano arrangements. So we have this. Then we had this. Love that. What did I play here? I love this sound. And then this. And then this F7 dominant. Last thing on this. Excuse me. Is that the F7 is in a perfect spot for us to add a reharm, a sus reharm in here, because there's no melody there. So probably I would throw some sort of F7 sus chord in there and then resolve it with the melody. So here's our sus. And then, so you're going to get this sound. You get these inner voicings working from this is going to slide down to this, which is really gorgeous, gorgeous sound. So like this. This, right? Back to our kind of B-flat major 7 that we originally had in the first voicing, right? So sus. So this is the advanced process now. And once you start to learn how to do this, and like I said, learning how to do this requires a number of different steps to be really utilized to its fullest. Because otherwise, this stuff can't, you won't know where the 9s are. You won't know where the 13s are. Or if you do, thanks, Stefan. I appreciate it. If you do know where they are, then your next goal is to be able to instantly recognize them. Because when I look at a tune, I know where these extensions are, so I don't have to think about it. Right? I can create these arrangements. I practice every single extension and I know exactly where it is and where I can put it in my hand. And I know it sounds harder than it. I know it sounds very hard. Okay. But a lot of the times the melody and the chords, when you work through the steps I've given you in the solo piano guidebook, they're going to dictate where your hands are and where the extensions will fall. You're going to realize you don't have as many options as you think you do, because of all the responsibilities in solo piano. Now, comping, when you're playing and comping in a band, I don't have to play melody. I don't have to play bass notes. That's a whole different ballgame. Because if I was playing this in a band, I have a free reign to do whatever I want. I mean, I could play 5-note voicings every single time if I wanted to. So my options, right, are, you know, greatly, I'm losing words right now. I was trying to think of words that I wanted to use. They're greatly increased, right? I didn't say that elegantly, but you know, they're obviously exponentially increased because I don't have to do melody or bass notes. But when you play solo piano like this, you work through the steps, you're going to find that, again, melodies and bass notes, how the structure of the harmonic motion of the bass note motion moves with the melody that the composer written is going to place your hands in certain ways that are going to lead to certain types of extensions or movements. And the more you get used to that, it just becomes, it flows so naturally, right? Okay, so I got away from the planning a little bit because I dove pretty deep into steps 5 and 6, but this is a lot to work on, right? This is going to be a lot for you guys to work on. And what I want you to do for solo piano, let's say solo piano is your bag. Like, you want to crush solo piano in 2023. You want to go through these steps and think to yourself, okay, where am I at? What can I do? Brendan said, I need to be able to play, you know, step number 2 over all tunes in a pretty comfortable way. Absolutely. Can you do that? No? Well, that's what you should be working on, right? Can you do step number 3 in a pretty comfortable way, in a solid way, over most real book tunes without having practiced them? That's the thing. I want you to be able to open up to any tune. I really am about creating freedom with you. I want to create free jazz pianists. I don't want to create pianists that have to read transcriptions or have to read a transcription of me playing. I want you to be able to freely express yourself through the tunes so that you can play whatever you want. That's my goal for you. It's not to just pump out transcriptions of me playing. I could do that, but that's not going to help you. And so many other online jazz piano educators do that, YouTube videos and stuff like that. They'll just give you everything. That's not teaching you how to fish. It's just giving you fish. It's like, here, okay, eat for a day, eat for a day, eat for a day. You play these transcriptions over and over and over and over again, but you're really not learning how to do it for yourself. And that really kills me, because one of the things I love about jazz piano is that I'm able to freely express myself through this beautiful craft however I want. I can put my own voice out there through the music. And I know you guys want to be able to do that too, because you all have your own voice. You're all individual people, right? And I want to hear what you have to say, not what I have to say. So work through these steps, and these are going to unlock the freedom within your solo piano playing, right? And remember, some of these steps require different types of things that you're going to need to accomplish those steps. And yes, George said you can absolutely go through the chords without the melody. But one of the big things, George, is just that, like, you know, if that's a comping goal. So like, if your goal is to comp, going through the chords, because the melody kind of dictates where your hands should be, George. So like, you know, the melody, wherever the melody is, it'll kind of dictate where it is. So if your goal is to play the melody with chords, then I would say you should be working on that. But if your goal is to comp through the tune, then you can definitely play the chords. And I'm never going to say no. Like, always playing through chords is definitely great for tunes, but it's just not the process and the structure of how your hands are going to be laid out on the piano. Just to give you a real quick example, if I were to comp through My Romance, I can do it like this. And that's not really going to give me a distinction of what my solo piano arrangement is going to look like when I add the melody. They're actually extremely different. Extremely different looks, extremely different takes, extremely different voicings, right? It's a completely different roadmap, George, essentially, is what my point is. So while you ask, is it cool to go through it? Of course it is. Yeah, it's very cool. It's going to help you in ways. It's going to help you in very different ways. But if you really want to work on playing melodies with harmonic chordal arrangements, then you're not going to really be working on that type of thing, to answer your question. Anyway, hope you guys enjoyed this. For everyone watching here that is hasn't gotten the guidebook, definitely go get that. jazzpianoschool.com/2023 planning book. You can enter the guidebook. We have a lot of holiday sales going on for different types of courses and things like that. For anyone that's new, you can pick up individual mini courses, specialty courses. There's a new specialty course, improvisation mastery course, coming out in January, along with a boot camp. So you can go to jazzpianoschool.com, find the link for all the holiday sales and stuff like that. If you're on the email list, you'll be getting emails about all these different live streams and obviously just different links about the holiday sale that's going on as well. A lot more live streams going on that I'll be doing. So this is going to be the solo piano one. I'm going to be doing voicings. I'm going to be doing improv. I'm going to be doing repertoire, and I'm going to be doing rhythm and coordination for all those other voicings as well. So much more free content and live streams coming at you, available for you to watch and follow along with and work on with me, so that you can really get a good plan for what you want to accomplish in 2023. And they're going to flow through into the new year. So I'll be doing these live streams, which is kind of cool. Like, it's going to flow directly into the new year and working on them. Now, just so you know, I think Bruce asked, where can I rewatch these? These are all going to be published as podcasts. I think Ian asked it too. They're going to be published as podcasts. So you're going to see a series of podcasts, and you can listen to them, or you can rewatch the video as a podcast too. Okay. So they'll all be repurposed and republished as a podcast. That way you can watch these as many times as you want and go through all that good stuff. All right. But I think the next one will be next week, but I'm not really sure. I have to check my schedule again and see what's going to work. But hope you guys had a great time. Hopefully that was helpful, and hope you guys have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you later. Thanks so much for being here. I appreciate the support as always, and I'll talk to you later. See you.